We have been studying Jeremiah in chapter 23, and we are reminded that our Lord reminded Jeremiah and the people that because the Red Sea opened up, because of the Lord, he lives. And when he ultimately gathers the Jews from all over the world in the days ahead, it'll be because he lives. When we come to God, we need to understand Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You have to start with God. In the beginning, God. When you're going to go to the Gospel of John, and the Word was flesh, the Word was God, is God, always God. So now, having said that, in the light of everything, Daniel chapter 4, and in verse 17, remember the outworking of all of the historic nations, even until the Lord comes. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent, the purpose, that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest, the lowest of men. So God, the humans that are alive on planet Earth, they need to be very conscious that God is a living God. And therefore, so when you come to Daniel chapter 6, and in Daniel chapter 6, you'll recall, picking up, if I can, in verse 20. And when he came to the, remember now, Darius the king and Daniel in the lion's den. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. Now here's the king Darius, and he recognizes the God is a living God. He isn't like all the idols, they're dead. All the ritual is dead. Every pyramid, every idol is dead. Has no life. Therefore, the end of verse 20, whom thou servest continually, is he able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, O king, live forever. My God hath set his angel, and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Now, sliding down to verse 26. I make a decree, then, said Darius, that in every dominion of the kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. So Nebuchadnezzar's going to get there. We didn't read it, but Nebuchadnezzar going to be the same thing. And here's Darius. God, what were you helping? You were helping these dear kings understand that you're the living God. And the reason they could be king is because of you. You are the living and only God. Now, having said that little bit, and that's what everyone had to see, Israel in Jeremiah's day would not realize that God lives. And they treated God as if he were dead. That means they come and go, without any thought about God. Therefore, Nebuchadnezzar is educated. Darius is educated. Now, going to the New Testament, God, you are the living God, and you made yourself known by the Red Sea. You made yourself known by the birth of Samson and the power of Samson. You have all kinds of ways, historically, you've made yourself known that you're alive. And you're able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. So, over if you would to the Gospel of Matthew. And the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 16. And I would remind you that God, you're going to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word God, become flesh. Now, so here's the journey, the 3 1/3 year journey. And in the process, chapter 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea of Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And then he made it personal. He said unto them, saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord clarified so that they you can just think of Peter saying that and what came out of his mouth. And God helped him instantly, verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So God just did this so that you 11, all 11 of you, rest of you, would all hear the same thing. Thou art the Son of the living God. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful living God. Now, so here we are, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Gospel of John and all the rest of it, is to what? Help us understand that Jesus Christ is God. And the issue in 1 John, if you don't want to believe that, then you are Antichrist. That's the whole issue. Jesus is wonderful, he died on the cross and all of that. If you don't understand he's God, then that's the spirit of Antichrist. That's the spirit. That's the kind of thing that comes because you deny Christ being God, so the Antichrist has a field day because there's no competition. Now, so when we come over now, then, for us believers, over to Hebrews, if you would. And in Hebrews chapter 7. So here we are, and we have the advantage of an awesome relationship to God, if we would take it. Hebrews chapter 7, and I'm just going to pick up the context, in the context each time. Hebrews chapter 7, picking up, please, in verse 24. 7:24. "But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost." Uttermost is forever. "Save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, our Lord Jesus." Why is this true? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now we didn't take time to read in Jeremiah chapter 16, but the Lord said, "It is absolutely imperative that I go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be beaten up, crucified, and I'm going to rise again. It's absolutely a necessity. Now God, because our Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again, therefore, resurrected Christ, he is able to save us forever. Because he lives. He died, was buried, and rose again. We serve a living Savior. We are in the presence of the living Savior. Now, and having said that, so that's an awesome, so that's what you're doing, God. You're there. In your wonderful, perfect humanity, you're there. And because you're there, we're going to be there. In fact, God, you've already clued us in. We're already there. Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. We are already seated in heavenly places, even though we're here. Because you live. That's right. I told you, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, that God raised him from the dead, I would give you my life. I would give you my life. You don't have it. God, it's yours. When is the life that God gives you yours apart from him? It never can be yours. It is always his. It's always his life that you have, not your life. It isn't a little thing you walk around and say, I got something from God. No, you don't. God's a person. And the reason you have life, because you're in the presence of the living God. God is the person. That's our problem, because we don't mind dealing with things. We can take them and use them and turn, put them down and pick them up and do all kinds of things. But you can't do that with a person. And God's a person. And that puts us in a box, as it were, because we can't do anything. We can't control it or anything. God, it's because of you. So I've got to look to God. And therefore, if I come to God, I got to believe that you're God. You're the living God. Hebrews, if you would, and in chapter 9. And in Hebrews chapter 9, may I pick up, please, again in the context, verse 13. Well, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth, sets apart to the purifying of his flesh, of the flesh. So God, you mean sprinkling of blood, you honor that in a very special way. Now, that was what they did in the Old Testament. How much more, verse 14, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, to purge your conscience, your thinking, from what? Dead works. To what? To the living God. From all the thoughts to a person. Here's all your thoughts, and there's all their thoughts. No, it's a person. Nothing's going to happen anywhere without the person. God. Therefore, you're going to purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. So did Israel, Judah, Jerusalem? No, they wouldn't pay attention. But God said, hey, there's a wonderful day coming and they weren't thinking anymore, remember, about the crossing of the Red Sea. Forget that. And they had no thought about what he would do ultimately, because they just couldn't conceive it. But God said, because I live, it's all going to happen. Now, therefore, Hebrews chapter 9, and picking up if I can, in verse 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And remember, the whole subject is about what? Christ has to die. How can you get the inheritance unless Christ dies? You can't have what he has. It's his. He has to die to give you that. And without his death, there's no resurrection. And with no resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, we are of all men most miserable. So he has to die. Uh-huh, he does. And that's what it's all about. He has to die so that he can be crucified, buried, and rise again. And that he lives. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, to chapter 10. Remember, Hebrews is all about growing up, developing, an exercise. Hebrews chapter 10, picking up, if I may, in thought, over in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, hope, boldness, fear, no fear, frank, full, free, all of those words. Having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest, how so? By the blood of Jesus. Now that isn't like a little ticket to heaven. No, no, not like that. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us and set apart, sanctified, through the veil, Christ died. He went into the Holy of Holies. He atoned for our sin like the priest once a year would go into the Day of Atonement and tell the world, tell the Jews, that Christ was going to have to die on the cross. So therefore, I'll read verse 20 again. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. Now, how on earth could we get to God? In Christ. You didn't get a ticket to heaven. You have the person of Christ in your heart if you're saved. And that's why you'll get there. Because he's there. Now, put it all together. He's there, and you're already what? Seated in heavenly places. Because he's there. You're there. You're there. Wow. How did we get there? By his wonderful person. He's the living God. You have a living Savior. A person. Now, hang on. Over in Hebrews and chapter 3. The warning, Hebrews chapter 3, picking up in thought, going, if I can, directly to verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. And unbelief is an evil. Evil. What's bad? You don't believe. Evil. I didn't call it that. God does. Unbelief is evil in your heart. Evil. Wow. Now, take heed therefore, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And you can't separate from God. That's it. You've been doing this for all these years, you can't separate from God. Do you understand that? You're either in or you're out. And God, here we are looking, and you're warning the believers not to depart from the understanding of the relationship they have to the living God, a living Savior. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to Romans chapter 6. Just for the, you read, you know it, but just look at it in that sense. Romans in chapter 6. And you will note, I'm going to go directly to verse 4, but I want you to pick up the language, the thought. Chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, identification, into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, sliding down, if I can, to verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Live with him. Verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Now, God is the living God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man. He's the Savior to make it all possible. And he is going to what? He has a unique, wonderful relationship to the living and only God. And thus, in chapter 6, verse 11, likewise, that you get the context so you can't miss it, reckon, calculate, compute, put in order, calculate, compute, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, how can you reckon yourself alive? Because he's the living God. If you're related to him, how are you related to him? Through the cross? Directly? No. He died on the cross to pardon us. It's his resurrection that gives us the life we need. And when we get the life that he gives us, then I ought to understand he is the living God giving us life in his Son, and I need to recognize that. I need to calculate with that. I need to move with that. Otherwise, I lose out. And all I have is a theoretical Bible. Theoretical church. That's all. It isn't real. It isn't real. You want it to be real. Bottom line, it has to be real. Now, therefore, verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And so we want to go and look to God with all our heart, and God will do a wonderful work in our life as we look to him and trust in him. Now, having that in mind, go over to 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians, you would recall, the gospel was brought to them, the wonderful, wonderful words of God, verse 5, 1 Thessalonians 1, 5, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. They were straight shooters. That's what they were. We're not going to give them a lot of junk. It's straight up what it need to know. And therefore, the result, they got saved, wonderfully saved. And verse 9, for they themselves show of us, what manner of entering in we had unto them, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So how did you certify the Apostle Paul's ministry? Because you got saved and turned to God. And you serve him. That's the credential, that it was real. Aha, now, therefore, and what are you doing? We're waiting, verse 10, for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So we're waiting. That's what we're doing. Here and now, we're busy waiting, waiting, waiting. That's what we're doing. And we're looking to God. And without taking time to, well, we'll do that. Over, if you would, to chapter 4. In chapter 4, you would recall again, God, the believers, they're waiting for the Son from heaven. That's what they're doing right now. Here they are. And they're waiting and looking, looking for an event. They're waiting for his return. They're looking for the event of his return. They're serving the living and only God. Therefore, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that died, passed on, that you sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so then also, them also, which sleep have died in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, they're waiting, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder them which are asleep that died. It's all going to happen at the same time. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall be caught up, grabbed up into the air together with them in the clouds, that at the same time they get a body, we're going to get a body in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we're looking. And in the meantime, the distance there, we understand, which over in chapter 5, verse 5, you are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And what are we looking for? Well, we're looking for a wonderful tomorrow. We're already guaranteed tomorrow. So it isn't a question of that. We have here and now, and we have tomorrow. Where are we? We're here until we're there. And he's there. He's there while he's here in you. It's a unique relationship. That's what you have to be saved. That's what communion is. Remember me. Don't forget me. Wow. Now, and therefore, verse 9, chapter 5, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's going to do a wonderful, wonderful thing in our heart, in our life, and he's going to go and save us in a most awesome, wonderful way. We serve a living Savior. And if you took time to read, which we won't if you did, Revelation and that, he's going to say to John, who's down in his face, John, I am he that liveth and died. I have risen again. You're looking at me. I am the risen, resurrected Christ. And then what are you going to do? You're then going to show us what? Chapter 4, chapter 5, that everything going on all around us, not here, because we can't see it, but in God's wonderful, wonderful third heaven, etc., all the angels are exercised, and everything is exercised to remind everybody, if you read Revelation 4 and 9 and 10 and all that, God liveth. We all are looking at the living and only God in the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. God made himself wonderfully visible in the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ. God made himself wonderfully beautiful in the heart of every believer in the body. Wow. We serve a living Savior. That's what we do. Now, having said that, in closing, over if you would please, over to 1 John. We're to walk in the light as he is in the light, remember? And here in 1 John, we're reminded, what are we doing? We're here. We aren't there yet. So we aren't home. We're here. And therefore, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to remind ourselves of that we're waiting, like the Thessalonians, for our Lord's entrance into the clouds and to make an exit for us, exodus for us, in a most wonderful way. And now here's 1 John, and that's helping us. I need to know what to do here and now until there and then. And I serve. We serve, if you're saved. We're supposed to serve a living Savior, a living, awesome God. Israel, God could have stopped Nebuchadnezzar just like that. But they didn't believe. Here's this hurricane, awesome hurricane. And God can make it and stop it. Just like that. Wow. And like you shared in the conference, we're living we use the quarterback thing in the football. And here we are, and we're in the third, fourth quarter, and everything is going, and it's a critical time. The world system, the opponents, and everything is all going. Wow. There it is. And the coach says, timeout. And the team all runs in. And they need to be stimulated, moved, motivated, not to be lax, not to be lazy, not to be indifferent, to go back onto the field. The game isn't over yet. And you are in the game. You are in the world. And the game is played and being played, and you're here for the world's to be, like we shared, and they did, in 1 Corinthians 4, a spectacle. The whole world's there, thumbs down, looking down at the out in the middle of the arena. And we share together, all the angels are cheering. What are we to do? Hold the ground. Just think of all the little things we did. The feet shod with the gospel of peace and all of that. Wow. Now, so therefore, what are we doing? Well, we're going to do what we can do. And it isn't because of us now. It isn't because of your IQ or your genius or anything. It's because of God, his wonderful person. He is the living God. And therefore, we're able to go, 1 John 1:7, you know, if we walk in the light, as we're children of light, not of the darkness, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, communion, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is cleansing us from all sin. And that's what he did. What did he do? He brought us into the Holy of Holies to present us faultless. But we're still here. But you're already there. So we're here. That's right. And we're looking to you, God. And we're going to move. But it isn't anything about us. It isn't about anything. It's all about his wonderful... He lives. He lives within our heart. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ who is our life. Wow. So therefore, as we walk in the light, we have fellowship, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us. And I would remind you, when you read fellowship, go to verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, said John. And all you in the upper room, you had all of those opportunity. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship, there's your word, with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Wow, wow. That's an awesome thing. And that's what we do. A person. A person is everything. And that's who you look to. If you were with a doctor, wouldn't you be looking to the doctor to do what he has to do? If you were with a dentist, would you be looking to the dentist? Open your mouth wide. You're looking to the dentist. You want God? You got to come to him. You want to answer questions? No, answer. Get your relationship with God squared away. And then everything becomes very easy. You have light so you can see. And if you can't see, we can read all these truths for the next 100 years. And you hear them, and they in and out. And you aren't letting them govern your life. The truths must govern our life. And that's what we operate, based on what it says, by understanding of the church, of God, isn't based on the world system. It's based on the book. We live in the world system. We aren't going to get rid of it. And all we can do, though, is make sure our little heart is locked onto that path, because he's the living God. And we aren't going to have any of the benefits unless we understand that we are to serve the living and only God in the wonderful person of Jesus Christ, just because we're in the Holy of Holies, in the heavenlies, but we're still on earth in this body, and we have to honor him.